Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Sunday is not the day to relax, because Triple M Footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
Rugby league.
We love it.
Shut up.
The footy's on Triple M.
Stand up and applaud.
Gotta love your rugby league.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Oh, good afternoon and welcome to Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. Prosper. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply. Gordon Tallis, James Graham, James Hooper and Ben Dobbin with you for the next 2 hours ahead of the Warriors taking on the Newcastle Knights. That game up in Newcastle yesterday. Three really good games. Dogs 22 defeated the West Tigers 14. Storm 22 against the fast-finishing Titans, 20, and the Dolphins grinded out a fantastic win, 28 points to 26. Look, we've got a lot to get through. Tevita Pangai Jr. will be joining us, but before we start, it'd be amiss if I didn't bring this up. Today is a significant day for one of our members of our team, and he's a very, very, very bright bloke. But James Hooper, 46 years young today, a very happy birthday to my friend James Hooper. Good to know you. We've even got you a little cake, mate, just so you are there. There it is.
Yes.
Hoops, happy birthday, mate. You tried to fly under the radar. You don't look a shade under 50. Well done, mate. Happy birthday.
Nah, thanks, mate. I appreciate it. Had a good day yesterday at the Leichhardt Bowling Club. Been another ripping round of footy. And I'll tell you what, the injury carnage. I can't believe all the big names. It is a real shame that the competition's lost some of the biggest stars over the course of the last few days.
Well, the Ryan Pappenhausen injury yesterday, it sent little shockwaves again because we've seen him. Now, Hoops, there is an update on his ankle. They first thought it was syndesmosis, but it's a little bit worse than that.
You've got to say syndesmosis. Because when I was playing, it was just a rolled ankle.
Yeah.
Oh, what have you got? He's got a sprained ankle. Yeah. Get him off.
Yeah.
Sprained ankle, put the crepe bandage around it. Give him one crutch because you couldn't afford two, my club. Now they've got moon boots. They got the Neil Armstrongs on.
Well, with Ryan Pappenhausen and his Neil Armstrong, Gordy, it's a small fracture of his fibula, which is the outer shin. And I think the cruel twist is it's the same leg and bone as what he did last year. So he's definitely out for 6 to 8 weeks. Possible surgery, the Storm are saying. So that's a significant blow because he'd been so good in everything that Melbourne have done and achieved this year.
Yeah, well, we'll wait for him. They've got that young hotshot.
Farlongo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sua Farlongo, yeah. He's a gun player. Yeah.
So he'll go into the fullback role. For the Broncos, Adam Reynolds will have an operation tomorrow on that.
What did he do?
Well, it's ruptured bicep. Yep.
At the top or the bottom?
Up the top. He's operating tomorrow. 12 weeks. Round 23 is when they have pinpointed. I spoke to him. He said he believes that's when it'll be. They do have a bye the following week, so it could be round 25. He plays the last 3 weeks, potentially. Jock Madden will go in for their place.
Jock Madden's done a great job.
Great job.
Like Brisbane are at a point now, and then when he went off the field, they scored a couple of quick tries. So, you know, that sort of young group of men are about to take the reins.
They're going to have to. Okay, let's get to the big issue off the top, and that's the bunker. we've seen, look, people can say what they want, and people can go all over the shop. I know I've been critical of the bunker before, but we are seeing some inconsistency week in, week out. And if you were a Tigers fan last week, you're scratching your head when Appy's try was disallowed.
Yep.
We then saw Philip Sami's try, and even Philip Sami was laughing after they awarded it a try.
He just got a new contract with the Harlem Globetrotters.
That was unbelievable. The Titans strip at the back end of the game on the last play, another howler. And then when we go up to Townsville, Felice Kaufusi attempting a tackle. His head nowhere near the ball, in no contact with the ball. Val Holmes tries to pass it, deemed a knock-on. Boys, I'm going to hand it over to you.
You're missing Aiden Caesar, a clear hip drop.
Yeah.
And the bunker it's a penalty sufficient.
How did he
stay on the field? This is so frustrating. People in the media, we don't want to be talking about the bunker.
No.
We don't want to have to address this. But we're all passionate about the game, and we know how hard those players and those teams and those coaches work. We know how much it means to the fans. But when
but
you
they
can't,
work hard in a bunker too.
But Gordy, when you can't.
Is the inconsistency? Yeah.
Well,
Jimmy, no,
yeah, but see, so like, and I've been talking about it all morning over breakfast, right? Mm. And I'm just, and the only way to get consistency is if the same bloke does it for every game.
Yeah, well, that's not how. It
because
rolls
we
at the
all
moment.
Have different opinions, right? Because yeah. there's blokes that have played the game, and I heard you, James, and it's one of the best quotes. I actually nearly spilt my red wine and my block and grapple when you said, obviously, the bloke in the bunker's never played a game of rugby league, and. Like when they said that he played at the footy, I'm sitting there and I'm blowing up at the television because it's the Titans, right? But unless I'm in there every time making the same decisions, that's the only way you're going to get consistency. Is there someone out there that can sit and cover all 8 games and be up to it? Well, because then if he's making the decisions and he watches it, that is the closest we will get. Even though that everybody will make mistakes, but the closest we will get to consistency, is that?
You raise a very valid point, Gordon, and I think this was a question I was going to hit you with, Jimmy, is the reason for the inconsistency is, we just looked it up, there's a different referee in the bunker for every single time. Game
and every
weekend.
Referee has always
it's
refereed
not the same ref. So,
and through my career, everybody refereed different. So how are we going to get it to be exactly the same unless we put a robot in there?
Well, this is what Jimmy Graham said 50 years. He said last year, you said in 50 years' time, years. The only acceptable thing will be that a robot yeah. referees. Well, I don't think we need to go down that road. That was one of your comments last year, and I understand what you were saying.
We need a robot host too.
No, we don't. We don't need any robot host. Can I just say this now before, James, I'm going to get to you, but human error is always going to be a thing, whether or not
it is.
Referees. So we all get...
We all make mistakes, but that's why there's rubbers on the end of pencils, right? Yeah. But we got to narrow the gap, because when you're a privately owned club like South Sydney, that you need to win. You need those points because that creates, like, there's 14,000 at the game. If they started winning those last 3 games, the Titans, there might have been 18,000 or 20,000. It does hurt your club when you don't get the W's, right? For a big club that's got a clubhouse behind it, they don't really care. They can sit there and they can, you know, bag the referee and pay the 10,000. But for the game to be consistent, I don't know it because we put players in there and I didn't know the rule book. I played the game for a long time. I didn't know every rule. James, did you know every rule?
No.
Right? So, but there's got to be a better system where we're just more consistent. We are going to make mistakes, but with the Howlers, we got to get them out of the game. And then how did that last play when they said that JoJo Fifita was playing at the ball?
Stripping the ball.
And he goes around and his hand ends up getting him on the like on the leg.
Gordon, there's not a person on the planet that thinks that that's a strip. It's either a knock-on or a loose carry.
Well, yep. Someone on the planet did.
Well,
someone on the planet
happened to be in a bunker, but they were out of their minds. look, I agree with you. Human beings will make mistakes, and we acknowledge that. That's why we have the bunker review. And we have the captain's challenge because we acknowledge the fact that, you know, the 4 officials in charge of the game with the touch judges, the 3 officials in charge of the game, they will make mistakes. So in order to limit the number of mistakes, and we do get obsessed with getting every decision correct, we bring in a bunker. So you can watch back and look back and then have other angles to make better decisions. But there were some decisions made this weekend that were just wrong. When you've got that level of technology available, you can't afford to make these decisions wrong. This is a big industry. This is a huge game. If those type of resources are available to help you and assist you making the decisions, then is it a credibility issue in terms of making the decision?
The biggest game in the world, I think, is NFL, right?
Yeah.
Would there be a case where our referees walk over to a monitor, the bloke out there in the middle that's made all the decisions, that's watched it with his own eyes, goes back, and has hindsight. He walks over, looks at the screen, and reviews it himself. Do you think that would be a better system?
No, because I think our game's too quick, Gordon, and we need to keep the flow. I think that slows down the decision-making process. NFL is a bit more measured with how they play the game. Fatigue isn't as big an issue. I think, for me, the people in the bunker just need to make better decisions. I've got no problem with us having a bunker. I think it adds to the game. It gets more decisions right than it does wrong.
Yes.
But on some of the 50-50s, That's okay when they create debate. When they create debate, and you know, I've got my Bulldogs glasses on, and you've got your Titans glasses on, and you're like, well, I sort of favour this, and Hoops will be with the Tigers, Dobbo's with about eight different clubs, so we don't know.
Well, like the thing that got me is when Cameron Munster, right, makes a play, gets hit, and you see him fall back, and it was a great play.
Yeah,
the bloke on the inside gets the AJ Brimson to make the tackle.
Well, that was, for me...
Give me a break there. Well, yeah. So I think that's a try because I'm sitting there with my Titans eye. The Melbourne Storm player goes, they denied him the opportunity. So I see that as a fit, but that's more...
By the letter of the law, that I agree with you,
did
Gordon.
Did Cameron Munster milk it?
Is he smart enough to know the rules to get the interpretation?
He was smart enough to go in there and take the collision and fall over than go to make the tackle on AJ. And that's where our game's got to, where one of the smartest players in our game, playing his 200th, goes in there and goes, I'm going to get a penalty here. No matter what play they put on, I'm saving this.
Well, he's stopping a try. That's what he's doing. And some people stop tries.
But he didn't make a tackle stopping the try.
Exactly. But some people make those desperate tackles to stop tries. But
and then that's the part that I didn't like.
They use the rules to their advantage. And that incident, Gordy, like we're having now, that creates debate. Because you and plenty of people would be with you. Plenty of people would be on the, it was a smart
decision. Cameron Munster did what
people
that don't think that they could shut down the play would do. Mm. But if you're confident in making the play, I wouldn't do that play myself because I didn't want to put it in somebody else's hands. He put it in the referee's hands.
There is a point
there. And that's when I would wish to go, no, no, Cameron, we showed you on slow-mo, go, oh, and fall back, right? Oh, no, you were taking the piss. You were taking the mickey out of us right now. And the bloke on the inside got to him, so no.
I will talk about this that Gordon raised earlier, and I don't want to be in any way saying this should be going this way, but the privately owned clubs, like the Titans, like the Rabbitohs,
like Melbourne Storm, the
howler of a decision, that the ramifications financially, which Gordon brought up, from a decision, and we can go back against the Canberra game, Chase was offside. It should never have been in Golden Point. But
so the Gold Coast kicked the field goal and the bloke was offside, so there was another win. So we could be on 6 or 8 points, okay, right? So we're in the fight.
Yes,
we're not in
the
fight anymore. We don't even have a ticket at the table.
At what point does the ownership say, hang on, we're entrusting you with the game. You've got the referee. You employ the referees. So you are unfit to run that game. You are getting it wrong. That is having a financial cost. In any other business world, companies sue.
I can't remember the last referee to get dropped.
They're rotating every week at the moment.
Why are you rotating them? The best 8 referees or 10 referees should be out there every game ready to go. The best like are there, and you don't rotate them. If you're not good enough, you don't rotate your best 13 players.
Well, they're doing that at the moment for whatever reason.
It's not referees. It's the referees, I think we can all admit, we're happy for them to make mistakes. We acknowledge the fact
that there's a million things going on.
Like we did this training course when we were playing. The referees came in and presented to us. There was a tackle situation. The ball is lost, and you have it on. They had it on ref cam, and we were asked to decide whether or not that's a loose carry or a strip. And the room is completely divided.
Yeah.
Some say it's a strip. Some players say it's a loose carry. Those ones.
Subjective.
And almost there isn't a right answer. It's almost 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other. But on the bunker decisions that are sent up to be reviewed with all the video evidence, you almost can't accept the wrong decision. You can't accept it because you've got all the information available to you. You know, there's no hidden angle in some of these incidences. It's either one or the other, and they
let's get interaction
wrong
with the fans at home on the couch where you can press the red button or green button. Try, no try.
We're not going down that path.
How good would it be? Wouldn't your fans be watching the game then? That's a try.
It's interesting though.
Just have a vote. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Send it back to the people sitting on the couch. But if you've gone over your 6-pack, you're out. Mate, your green and red button doesn't work.
See, Casey Gordy, Badger.
Gordy, you asked for one person in the bunker. Right, obviously plenty of us get the tea, but how about we get 10 and then the 10 experts, they have a vote, and it's like, you know, is that a try or no try? Is that a sin bin or stay on the field? And then go with the majority, or I have 11 in there, and if it's 6 and 5, we go with the 6. That maybe there's a solution. You get some smart people, because and I got obviously cost.
Hold on, there's
is an
your problem.
Issue.
What did you say? You get some what?
Smart people.
Yeah.
I do think that having one person, if that was their one job, like I understand they go up fatigue. I'm sorry. I mean, the average person who works an average 40, 50 hours a week, one job is all you do is you sit in there as the officiating person in the bunker for the whole year. I don't think that's an unreasonable task. Play them what they
Thursday,
want.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's it. And you cover the games and you are the only person. Now, you can let everybody know who that is. I don't have any problem with that.
This but is my point. So you got Graham Annesley, comes out every week and he does a press conference. Why isn't he in there?
Well, he's ahead of football. No.
He's so not the head of referees. Yeah,
but why isn't someone with that much experience that's been an administrator, that's worked at clubs, that has refereed the game at the highest level, why isn't he sitting there over the top? Because he comes and goes, well, this is it.
He's
so
sitting
he can explain
home.
It to us.
He's sitting at home with his own red and green button. He's sitting at home and he's hoping that they get it right. It's human error, unfortunately.
But he's getting it right. But if he's there, maybe they will get it right.
Well, this is why the bunker's bought in, to alleviate human error. Mm. But there was a couple of shockers this
weekend.
But there's
humans pushing the buttons.
Pressure.
It has been pressure and it's going to continue. And rightly so. I don't think the Titans, they got away with one last night and they also had a howler against them. So that squares them away. In the early game, the Dogs and the West Tigers, Casey Badger, that nearly went for 2 hours, that game, because the amount of time they had to go to the bunker and captain's challenges and all that kind of garbage that went on. And she lost the game in that sense. Mate, players were challenging her. And we've seen it with other referees as well. When they lose control, it happens. And the Aiden Caesar one, rightly so, the Dogs were blowing up Deluxe about why, and the game at that stage was like, you know, the West Tigers had gone to a lead, the Dogs were coming back, rightly so, that should have been a sin bin, but then it sends it into, like, Bateman's challenging Badger, it got out of control completely, and it was all because of the decisions that were coming from the bunker that they weren't getting them right.
Well, Isaac Tango was sin binned on the very same arena.
Yeah.
What, 36 hours prior to that?
Yeah, on the Thursday night.
And everybody accepts it.
Yeah.
You know, Benji Marshall in his press conference, if Aiden Caesar goes there and gets sent for 10, he accepts that decision.
Yep.
But Cameron Serraldo and the Bulldogs players, they don't accept that decision. And I think the overwhelming majority of the NRL community don't accept that decision.
Mm. There's going to have to be something happen. And we talk about shake-ups and, they have to look at this because it's not only the fans. You brought up a really good point, Gordon. Very rarely do you speak a lot of sense, but the ownerships and their loss of earnings.
Every club would be in the same boat.
Yeah.
Right, you look at Penrith winning grand finals, how much merchandise they sell and that. So the W's are so important to your organisation, to your memberships, to basically your bottom line. Everybody loves a winner. You know that.
Yeah.
But people
the
care
Wars
as well.
Last year went on a run at the Gordon Tellis Cup in the heartland of North Queensland. Every single kid was saying, go the Wars, up the Wars. It does affect your bottom line.
But
and
for me, it's
some of the and in some of the smaller clubs that aren't expected to win, they don't, and they never get the rub of the green.
Yeah, it's more than money. Like the passion that runs throughout sport, from the players, the fans, the people at home watching on TV, the commentators, people in the boardroom, the coaches. Like, how much work? Like I said, how much work goes into that performance? How much sacrifice for people to go and save their money? Like, there's plenty of other entertainment options.
Yeah.
Jason Demetriou would have won four games, he'd have his job.
You can
if Jason Demetriou had won four games, he probably would have his job.
He didn't have any howlers, though. He didn't have any howling decisions.
No, but he'd have his job. That's what I'm saying about winning and losing. Just if they scraped home and won a couple of games, it doesn't mean that they're going to go on and win grand finals, but that's how important it is to have W's.
We will
most
talk about
get on helicopter
Dobbo.
Arms.
We'll talk about
you
it.
You keep it up, mate. You'll rupture your bicep. You keep on spinning your arm like that.
You've got to actually make tackles to rupture biceps, and that ain't happening in my world.
I don't know. Those donuts you put up to your mouth.
We're going to take a break. We will talk about South Sydney shortly, but coming up next, Cowboys and the Dolphins game. We're going to recap that beauty up in North Queensland. This is the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. Rabbits fans, we will be getting to your week and we'll also be talking.
They've gone on holidays.
Yeah, well, just calm. We will get to you very shortly. I call BS coming up.
What's that Parramatta guy? Mate, we got to get him on again soon.
Yeah, he was really insightful.
Yeah.
Paul from Bankstown, wasn't it?
No, Paul from Cabramatta.
Oh, Cabramatta.
I've told you.
Mate, we've got him on speed dial anytime we need him.
Paul ain't coming on this show ever again.
He'll be back. Right. Don't worry. He will be welcome back.
We need to hear those thoughts. Oh, just on a lighter note, by the way, the birthday cake.
Yeah.
But mate, Ben Dobbin, producer Charlie, well done. Like, that was
outstanding. Thanks, boys.
I thought it was beautiful that James Hooper, we're 46 today. This is spring
chicken.
That's
two great journalists in this country's birthday
and
today.
And Hedley Thomas as well.
Big Hedley.
Oh, yeah, you know, birthday. Yeah,
same day. And Corey Parker, three real good blokes all together.
I said two of the best journalists.
And so
look. Is it the old Fox?
It's Cos's birthday as well today. I have no 62. Idea. I don't care. What about your mate up in, Gordon, he's always got people anyway. He's good mate, Paddy Poole, who listens to us. He's listening to us right now.
I was supposed to go camping with him up at Crystal Creek.
But his mate Ariel, who he reckons he's the best camp cook in Australia.
Mate, he's horrible. You've got to put every condiment on it. Mate, a bit like your stories.
We should have a camping trip. I think the four of that's where I got
you. Put more sauce on his food just to give it any sort of taste.
That would test our relationship if we went camping. I reckon.
Would you be the cook, Dobbo?
Pooley's invited.
I don't think I'd be the cook, no. I'd be the entertainment, like I am on this show as well.
I pack a good esky. I've got really good meat.
I reckon you're a secret barbecue cook. I reckon that. I don't know what Jammer would bring except whinging.
I don't think
that's
you know how to put up a tent, Jammer. Do you know how to put up a tent, Jammer?
I've pitched a few tents, Dobbo.
You've pitched a few tents.
I bet you have. Now, listen, let's get... you're a low life. I'm not going to touch on your performance of the last week because you know what? I'm not going to give credit where it's not due, but you've got a lot of work to do and the ratings have spoken. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
No one's interested in your appraisal.
Well, you know what? They are, and you might be surprised when I'm working for that organisation at some stage in the not-too-distant future.
Mate, I got more chance of running Channel 9, 10 and 7.
No, well, whatever. I don't care.
Reading the news.
Yeah, well, whatever. Just watch this space. Cowboys, another tough loss, but it's more about the Dolphins. Low on troops, on big-name troops. Yeah. 28 points to 26 winners. For the Cowboys, they sit 10th now, 4 wins and 5 losses. For the Dolphins, they're in their top 4. And their performance last night was all about commitment and work, and it was so good.
Well, we watched them play against Parramatta a couple of weeks ago, and they got their mojo on, and they played Newcastle last week and were there, and they called it, and that was a game that Newcastle were like up for it, right? So no Kalen Ponga, everybody wrote them off. You saw them get in a circle, and I thought that game got away from them. And then yesterday, to go up to North Queensland, how fast the Cowboys started. What was it, 10-0 after, it's probably a point a minute. And then for them to fight back in, and Nick Arima, I haven't been critical, but he hasn't played anywhere to his potential. I reckon that was his best game I've watched him play in a long, long time last night.
He was very good. The bloke I think we've got to talk about that's been unearthed, and I say this, when you've got no Gilbert, no Flegler, no Farmworth, no Hammer, mate, Maxi Plath. I mean, Max Plath, he typifies what Wayne, and you played with John, so you know the DNA.
Tenacious.
But what he brings...
Actually, Gonny Plath's annoying. His son looks like a better bloke.
It's like a Dallas Johnson, a Trevor Gilmeister mould.
Here we go. I'm going to say it now. That kid's an Origin player.
Wow.
So watching him play, I watched him play against Parramatta. He passes the ball, he gets there. He would never let you down. If Queensland are down on troops and they need someone to come in and do a job, I would play with him. And he's 5 games into his career because I know in 20 and 30 games time, that kid's ready. And that's a big statement. Just to watch how he turns up on every play. He just turns up, and that's all you can ask. So does he beat anybody on ability? I'd say no. But he will never let you down, that kid, ever.
He's the type of player that some teams are really missing and are crying out for. He covers so much ground, does all the little things. We talk about the influence of your spine players, and you look at metrics like try assists, line break assist, try scored, etc. But the area that Plath brings, what he does on that football field, it is just as valuable.
It's super valuable,
and it's infectious. He brings people along with him. He embarrasses people into doing things. He does so much cleanup work. And just on the Dolphins, where they're at, in terms of, you know, take yourself back to round one where they played the Cowboys. They were beaten 43-18 with that star-studded team. No Katoa in the team at that time, but that was by choice. And, you know, they've been... They're still trying to find consistent football, the Dolphins. I thought, like a lot of people, they would suffer from second-season syndrome. But they've been sensational. You know, that game against Parramatta, but then they come back to earth a little bit against Newcastle. So probably thought they were going to plateau a little bit. Back with a bang last night after... It was a game that took some fair effort to win as well.
They got Manly on Thursday night at Suncorp Stadium, and so they got a quick turnaround. But it's interesting, you talk about Max Blatt and Origin. You're not the first person to say that. His fitness, he's only young. But this is what the Dolphins have been able to do. This unearth, everybody says, oh, there's a shortage of players. But he was on a trial and train at Brisbane. Obviously, they just couldn't fit him into that top 30 or that dev list. So then, mate, the Dolphins said, look, we'll give you a go.
Well, they've got Kobe Hetherington, yeah, they've got Paddy Carrigan. So you don't want to hold a kid back for no reason.
No question. But he goes and plays Queensland Cup last year. And if you talk to Ben Teo, who was his coach at Redcliffe,
he said he's the best player.
He said, if Max Blatt was in my team, I knew we were going to win. He says that. He said, we'll win because we've got Max Blatt. He was that adamant for it. So they're doing that. And not every kid's getting picked at 13, 14, 15, 16. They go off and they learn their craft. He's only young. Ben Aitken was telling me that they do this gap run at the Broncos. And when he's at the Broncos, he started with the slowest group, which started first. He said Max Blatt ran past him like he wasn't even there. He said he's so fit, that kid. And you can just tell
his dad was like, I think, look, mate, Johnny Plath was such an underrated player. He played on the bench. He was so versatile. I reckon he played in probably every number for the Broncos. Like, he played in every position. And every time he played, he's exactly like his son. He's just such a valuable player to have. And we were lucky to have someone like that. And then to have Max Plass, and when they lost Tommy Gilbert, and he was the standard. And to lose someone like that, and I tell you how important he is. They've got his name on the
Red Tommy Gilbert on the jersey, yeah.
Right, so. Because that's what they mean. Like, they've got it. So, and to have someone to come in and replace like that. And when I started watching him, because I play with his dad, and I get, you know, I get a bit of enjoyment. Like, I get goosebumps watching him run out, and then to watch him play, and I've never met the kid, and watch how ripping he plays kid. The game ripping and just kid. Rip and tear. And as I said, he made that guy would have been on ability, never the best player in any team he played in. But I tell you what, I'd love to play with him.
Now, the Cowboys are in a real hole at the moment. Todd Payton in the press conference didn't mince his words. Here he is.
It's super frustrating. Makes me really angry, disappointed. In the end, we're just outworked. It really mattered, so... we knew that we're playing a team that just doesn't go away and started fast, but just unable to defend back-to-back sets, and it's really disappointing.
What's going wrong with them, Hoops? What's going wrong with the Cowboys at the moment? They're 4 wins, 5 losses, sitting at 10th, and they don't look like a team that's united at all at the moment.
Yeah, I think some of the decisions that they've made around the roster have come back to bite them. So I've never seen one of those long-term 10-year deals end well. And in the case with Jason Tomalolo up there, they've obviously got a lot of money invested in him. And the reality is that they have tried to quietly sort of look at alternative options for him, but he wants to remain. And I don't blame him. Like, they did the deal. They shook hands on it. He's got it in writing, so he's entitled to want to stay there. I also think in the halves that, you know, perhaps they could have made some bigger picture hard line decisions. I know that they've always got a great nursery of emerging halves coming through there, but it just feels like Tommy Dearden's a star, and I got all the respect and time in the world for Chad Townsend, but I'm just wondering if it looks a little bit like it's not working at the moment.
Jake Clifford was good last night for his first game back in the side. Townsend wasn't there. So Clifford's kicking game was sublime, and he did a great job. But you're right. It just doesn't seem... Val Holmes...
It's not their attack, right? So when you get a halfback, they got to steer you around. They got to, like... Mate, when a halfback to me is when your forward pack's struggling, they kick you out of trouble. And when your forward pack's going through the middle and they're giving you time and space, well, you find the space for them. And then that's what they did well. Like, then the Cowboys didn't lose. They scored enough points. Wayne Bennett always say, you score 3 tries, that's enough to win any game of footy, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And they did that. Yeah. And it was just defending. It's actually stopping tries. That's what the most important thing is to do. All the kids out there that are driving back from junior rugby league, it's not how many tries you scored, it's how many you saved. It's how many tackles you made. And that's what, and that's how the Cowboys got beaten last night, and you can hear it.
Yeah.
But Toddy just wanted to say, just because coaches have to do the coach speak, they just got beaten because they didn't want to defend their... Defend your errors. When you make a mistake, the next six tackles are the most important six tackles of the game.
That's a frustrating thing for the coach.
Oh, it'd be horrible not being able to continue to turn teams away.
And you know, one of the best examples of that is the team the Cowboys played a couple of weeks ago is Penrith.
Mm.
So they saw they witnessed firsthand what to do. It is incredibly difficult, but I think with the roster that they've got, Coach Payton would be frustrated because I think he would see that. He thinks that they're a little bit better than what they're performing at the moment. Yeah, some teams you'd accept, but with the quality of forwards that they've got, and their edge back rowers, their middles, you know, they've got some polish on the edge too. You would think they would have the ability, or maybe even just focus a little bit more on that defensive side of the game, because we know what they can do with the football. Like, they're a great attacking team to watch, but just defensively is just not happening for them. And I don't know whether it's, you know, one of the things we speak about a lot is attitude to defense. How much do you actually want to do it? Because it's bloody difficult.
Mm. Yeah, did they overachieve that year that they made the prelim in 2022, yes. Right? A lot of people that year had them finishing in the bottom four sides. Some suggested they'd get the wooden spoon, right? And then they go on that awesome run. They fly under the radar. I think they played a lot of games in Queensland that particular season. I don't think they had to travel a lot and do a lot of tough road trips, which they have in more recent times. And then last year they didn't make the eight at all.
I don't get that road trip. North Queensland, it is hard, right? So it is 6 or 8 hours for those guys to get to Sydney every week. But you've never heard of the Warriors complain.
Nah.
They fly from another country, they go through customs, and there's a 2-hour time difference, right? So that shouldn't be an excuse. Penrith said that Nathan Cleary didn't play because they played up in Townsville. I flew back from Cairns last Thursday night to work. Like, come on, give me a break. It's a 2-hour flight. Put him in business class. Like, you shouldn't blame travel when you're playing the NRL in a, you know, National Rugby League.
Either way, there'll be the spotlight on the Cowboys in the coming weeks, just depending on how they go. We're going to take a break. Rabbits fans, strap yourselves in. We're going to talk all about your club up next. This is the Sunday Sinbin on Triple M. What? South Sydney sack Jason Demetrio earlier this week. It came to an end. An extraordinary set of circumstances. 2 board meetings in one day and the coach is gone. James Hooper, I'll start with you. I don't think anybody expected that it was going to take, this wasn't going to happen. But in the end, it happened probably quicker than we thought. They gave him a week of stay with the bye. He comes back, they get beaten. 2 board meetings and it's over.
Yeah, as ruthless as it is, Dobbo, it's professional sport and sometimes clubs make hard decisions like this. And I think the drums started beating as soon as South Sydney greenlit a third party to go and tap Mal Meninga up a couple of weeks ago. And the theory was that Mal was going to be parachuted in and that he would be the caretaker coach. The club then got a little bit rattled when that became public. And so they decided to give JD an additional week after they had that narrow loss to Cronulla, where they were brave, but they still were beaten. But they had a lot of injuries. Now they're faced with a lot of injuries again. Like Cam Murray, 6 to 8 weeks. He's the best player in that side. 6 to 8 weeks with a hip flexor. Jai Gray, the young gun fullback, 6 to 8 weeks with a syndesmosis or an ankle sprain, Gordy. And then Dean Hawkins, 6 weeks with a quad. So they've got an issue now in the halves. There's a lot going on at South Sydney, but in reality, Dobbo, and you'll know this, Wayne will be there. My view is the deal's been done. Russell Crowe and Wayne have done that deal privately, and it's just a matter of when it gets announced.
Yeah, right.
I believe it'll be announced this week. I don't understand why there's all the secrecy. My mail was that they didn't want to table the offer officially to Wayne prior to last night because he was obviously coaching, but today and tomorrow it'll all be finalised and he wants an announcement made so everybody can move on.
There was some talk around Parramatta. Can we just talk about that? They've officially ruled themselves out of the running for Wayne, but was there any real truth to that they were even talking about potentially seeing and going into that market, knowing full well that Brad Arthur's their coach? He's been there for 9 years. Hoops, was there any truth to that?
Yeah, I think Wayne, there was a third party on yep. Wayne's behalf who sounded out power brokers, the bankers who run the club there. And there was definitely a couple of conversations. My understanding is it didn't end up going anywhere because they've obviously put their full support behind BA as their head coach and as the right man to try and fix where Parramatta are at the moment. But certainly, yeah, there was a couple of conversations. And I think there was some interest when it was initially put to them a number of months ago. But then they're another club who's been ruined by injuries this year. You know, they're missing their best player in Mitch Moses, and it makes it hard.
Can I ask, and you blokes might not agree with this, but I reckon South Sydney have made a real mistake in the way they've handled this.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what I think. Ben Hornby will coach first grade somewhere, but it's safe to say that he is not going to be a first grade coach at South Sydney at the moment. Otherwise, they would have just appointed him straight away. So tell me this. Wayne Bennett's not going anywhere. He, you know, there's not going to be that many positions come up this year. Why didn't they go left field, South Sydney, and just go and get the Walker brothers for the remainder of the year? I know this is a silly theory, but
they did go left field. They went and got Mal Meninga. Yeah, they had him lined up, and then when it all became public.
Why didn't they go up for the Walkers? Look, the Walkers have had the best relationship. They've a proven track record with depleted sides that could get the job done. There's obviously some divide within the club. They are very good like that. Ben Hornby.
Too risky.
Well, I don't think
it's
it is.
Too risky.
What have they got to lose, though?
What have they got to lose?
You think that now. That maybe it's not got as bad as what it could be. Somebody could come in, and if it goes really bad, like if the Walker brothers, the way they play the game or the way they coach, I'd love to see them get a crack in the NRL. But a team that is doing so poorly.
No, you're spot on. Look, it would have been a huge risk in terms of giving the Walker brothers a crack. But I tend to think the Bunnies, where they are at the moment, I don't know if they hit rock bottom.
Well, look, the next month of football, we're going to find out where they're really at.
Yep.
So they play the Dragons, the Cowboys, the Eels, and the Titans.
Yep.
So
they get Latrell back, right?
Latrell
He's
is
obviously
back.
Going to spend for 3 weeks.
You know, injuries galore.
Yeah.
But this next 4 weeks, we'll get a real good look at just how bad and how difficult the situation that Wayne Bennett is walking into. I think they need that dictator-style person. When places are rabble or places are mess, they need somebody to come in with a complete and utter authority and say, I'm running this ship, board level. Like, he did that when he got to the Dragons. He said, look, Peter Doust, don't call us.
Stay in Cogra.
We'll call you. When we need you, we'll call you. So, look, they need a person like that.
We've got a couple of technical difficulties going on at the moment. Some people would say this is an improvement, Jimmy.
I'd miss Gordon, though. We are missing Gordon
need,
Tallis.
We need the Raging Bull.
Yeah.
But as for the host of the show, I'm not sure whether he can hear us or not at the moment, but he's posted wide and not involved at the moment. His microphone's not working. But what we're going to do is one of the favourite segments on this show every single week. People love it. I call BS. Here comes the intro.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Righto, Jimmy, what do you got for us? I Call BS, who are you taking aim at this week?
Yeah, look, my I Call BS this week. Well, first off, big shout out to Harriet. Big sponsors of the show, supporters of the show. Love their work.
Very good people.
Had a catch up with a couple of the Ariat members
week,
actually. Yeah. So
I thought Dobbo was trying to railroad that.
Well, he was, but we managed to get an in.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We went round Ben Dobbin, which is a very difficult thing to accomplish at the best of times. But
you just went through Gordy.
we got access there. We had a good chat with a couple of the representatives at Ariat, so that was really good.
We're back. You idiots. Well,
we were just holding the fort. It was all hands on deck, Dobbo. We were just talking about how great Ariat are and how we had a meeting with them this week. But no, we'll go back to you, my friend.
No, we do know that. We do know that. Are we doing
yeah, Billy Slater gave me like the number for you guys yeah, and Cam okay. Smith.
Shut up. Gordy, I thought Gordy
two
did
of
the
their better ambassadors,
yeah.
you know. I bump into their big ambassadors.
We are on I Call BS, I take it.
Yes, we are, Ben.
Were you not listening?
Yeah, no, we haven't been able to hear anything.
I don't know what happened. They just put us on like SBS or something like that. I have no idea what we were listening to.
It was actually a pleasure not to have to listen to you two.
We were just saying how much we enjoyed. We were missing Gordon, but I'll tell you what, things were running very, very smoothly otherwise.
Hoops, you were, that was a great intro.
Explain.
Like,
listen.
Coming back from the advert break
listen
to
here,
hear
Ginger.
Your voice. That was
Ginger, I've been holding off the poor performance of 360 and that you've got another week to trial.
Mate, there's one odd man out here. There's one bloke that hasn't sat at the desk on 360.
Mate, wait and see. All right? Just wait. Well, everybody else gets a go, so I'll be getting a go in a couple of weeks, no doubt. Everybody's getting a go at the moment.
You
so,
work for the opposition.
You reckon it's a rotating, a revolving
turn? I think everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a lollipop at the party. Anyway, we'll just wait and
I'll
see.
I'll call BS on that. Okay. That's my BS for the week.
Can I, James Graham, have you got an I Call BS legitimately?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
My I Call BS is teams that just take one in off the scrum in good ball. Like, you have such a fantastic opportunity to load an attack. And we see it time and time again. So in the Titans Storm game yesterday, there was three tries scored from the base of the scrum, two for the Storm and one for the Titans. Like, you see some teams, they'll hit, they get the quickest player feed the scrum. I'm like, what, why would you put you like a winger to feed the scrum when he should be out there trying to finish it? You see them pass the ball to a middle forward or
when
drop a middle
Alan
forward
Langer
off.
There and you put a winger there.
And you're like, it's like they're setting up the play to come back. It's like, you don't need to set it up. You've got
Melbourne
your opportunity
Storm.
Right now. Why are you setting the thing up?
So
you
good.
Go now. Just play now.
Scrums where they put four on three. Titans didn't read it. I'm like, hello? You got four. They put on an amazing play, score in the corner. Then they put on the same setup and they go the opposite side. It's unbelievable. But then, mate, I used to get the shits. Attack from the scrum.
Yes.
That's what they're there for, right? So, no, we don't push any more, right? And all that. But basically, when you put six guys in a small area of the field, it opens it up. That's what you want, space. You guys, right, you wingers and centers, that's the space that you want.
Well, the NRL,
take it.
The NRL changed the rules that you could pick where you have your scrum now, and teams are just still sending a player in. I'm like, don't do that. Have a go now. You've got so much space and opportunity. Don't work to create an opportunity. One's being given to you, then they change the rules around. If you break early, you can the penalty, or you can repack the scrum. And if they go early again, then the player gets simbined. Why don't teams on every single time past the halfway line just throw some great shape, put on a play? Don't play boring in that situation.
You know, to be one of the best coaches at scrum plays was Timmy Sheens.
Yeah.
He loved them.
Yes.
And the West Tigers, the year that they won the comp in 2005, he was the king of coming up with just a little trick play off the back of a scrum.
I call BS on this whole compassionate leave.
Oh, here we go.
Compassionate leave? Okay. Who's on compassionate leave?
Well, I do. You know how players are, you know, like I want to go here or I want to go there. They didn't want to go there before they signed their contract. It's just a way. It's a loophole how they get out of contracts these days.
So who's doing that now?
No, well.
What you're saying.
Well, it's happened at every club. It happened
this week.
James
Fisher-Harris going home because.
Well, no, but it happened at the Cowboys in it this week, mate. And you watch it. So every player now that signed a contract, they're going to sit there and go, I want to go home. Mm. I want to go there. I want to go this. You signed the deal.
I can understand if there's a family member that's sick and you want to
move
home.
You're not a doctor. You're not a nurse. I lost my sister. I watch Kevin. No. Right. Give up footy and go and look after him properly. Right. If it's that important to you, that's what you do. Right. I get it. But you finish your deal. Finish your deal. Don't keep on doing it, mate. It's not fair on the game. It's not fair on the fans. You know, like, everybody knows when they sign their deal. Everybody knows that they signed there for 3 years. Everybody knows that. And if it's that bad, you just walk away.
Yeah.
If it's that bad, Tevita Pangai, you walk away and you go do something else. Go to boxing. Because he wanted to come home and he wanted to box and be close to his family. Well, that's what he did.
Well, you can't now, have your cake and eat
with,
it as well.
Now what's happening with Tevita Dobbo? He might be going to the Storm.
Well,
is that
being
right?
Reported that's in the paper that he's, today that he's been speaking. The Melbourne Storm are looking at Tevita. Now, look, I can understand that boxing hasn't worked out and you want to go back to the game you love because that's where you make your money. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm.
I don't have any problem with that. Like, you give it a go. You come home. You
but
want to make
be careful what you say first.
Yeah.
Don't say, I want to come back. I want to live in Queensland. That's where I want to be. And then make a mockery of everybody that allowed you to do that.
I like Tevita,
like so many
but I
people
think
fight to play our games. Like there's thousands of kids out there now dreaming to be an NRL player, and then when you get there and you sign these amazing deals, and when you sign it, I guarantee you go home and you're really happy. I guarantee you sign that deal, right? I know when I signed them, I was so fortunate to play rugby league.
Hmm.
I was so fortunate that that club gave me the opportunity. And when I signed, there was like an emotional thing, like I'm signing my name, and I'm a rugby league player. And then all of a sudden, right? Compassionate leave.
Yeah. Either way.
Don't use that. Just say, hey, listen, I don't want to play anymore. Well, walk away or finish. Can someone just finish their deal?
I'm calling BS on the bunker, Dobbo.
Yep.
On the bunker yesterday when the West Tigers and the Bulldogs played, I actually felt I had a lot of empathy for Casey Badger. I think she's a good referee, and I think she was doing her best in very testing circumstances. And she did lose control. But the reason, a huge element of the reason why that happened is because the bunker's involvement, they were getting the decisions wrong. Not sending Aiden Caesar to the sin bin, stupid.
Yeah, I agree with that. And people can say, oh, well, Casey Badger, and she missed this, she missed that. Mate, the game...
She's a good referee.
Yeah, good referee,
and
I agree.
And yesterday, it was very testing circumstances, and at stages, it was getting out of hand.
Well, it seems that we've all got bugbears. I call BS... on this is an issue that's starting to really get to me. So I'll give you an idea.
Uh-oh.
Players are up by,
the
teams up by 12 points
food.
Or more. A team's up by 12 points or more mm-hmm. with a minute to go mm-hmm. and some dunderhead decides that he doesn't like the call when the game's gone and they call a captain's challenge with a minute to go. Shut up. If it's under
Shut
2
up.
Minutes.
The footies
no,
are
I'm
triple
being serious. I'm sick to death of people going, like Jerome Luai did call on the other. It's a minute 27. You won the game.
Yeah.
You don't need to be right. Oh, we'll have a captain's challenge. Stop wasting time. And I tell you, I'm serious. It's got to the point where with 30 seconds to go, oh, we'll just call a captain's challenge. You're not going to win the game. The game's done. Like, I'm sick to death of it. I really am.
It's prolonging the inevitable.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just stupid. You happy with that?
It wasn't a bad one from you.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, and as for you trying to crowbar yourself into Ariat, I hold
mate,
the pen and the whistle, James.
He's not
I
trying
hold
to...
the pen and the whistle, mate, so be very, very careful.
I don't think
careful.
You do.
Mate,
yes,
he's
I do.
Not trying to crowbar
mate,
anywhere.
I've got a better tie
he's
to
just
them
doing
than
his,
you.
He's just doing his job.
We've dangled the carrot to them, Ben, and they
yeah.
like
and
what they
what?
Like what
and
they
guess
had.
What? They haven't had a nibble yet, idiot.
Oh, they liked what they saw.
Well, mate,
they saw the potential.
Polite. People are polite to you because they don't like, they know how you can flick a switch. So people are scared of you. So they just say yes. Not this bloke. No. So let's get back to talking about South Sydney. And James Hooper, obviously, it was a big week. So the big test for it is now is Ben Hornby takes over, and what should we expect from South Sydney with these injuries and what's going to happen?
Oh, the injuries are shocking, Dobbo. Like, you couldn't make up how bad they are. Cameron Murray, in my opinion, is their best player. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks with a hip flexor. Then you've got Jai Gray, the young gun fullback, who is just starting to really find his feet. He's a syndesmosis injury, 6 to 8 weeks. The backup halfback who's come in and replaced Lachlan Elliott since he's been dropped and then injured, Dean Hawkins, is also out for 6 weeks with a quad strain. So you can't make up how bad it is for the Bunnies at the moment. Look, they might have to make a big decision around Jack White. And I know they signed him to play left centre, but he's obviously won a Dally M medal playing 5-8. They might have to make a big call and go with Cody and Jack White in the halves.
Well, you know what, Hoops, just on that, I was having a bit of a think before about Jack White, and he's been South Sydney's best.
Yep.
No
him
doubt.
And Cam Murray.
No doubt about that. And I just think, considering the situation, like, this is a little bit left field, but when at the start of the season there had been talk of him playing on an edge, I would move him into the middle to clean things up.
As lock.
Yeah.
Okay.
With Murray being out, I think,
yeah, wow,
considering, yeah, where Souths are at the moment, they need someone with a little bit of ticker, with a bit of voice, with a bit of passion in the middle of the field. I know it seems extreme, but I think he would take to it. He's, you know, when you describe Jack White, what's the first thing you say? He's a footballer.
He's adaptable.
He's a footballer. He wants to win. Put him in the middle of the field and help him, because that's where Souths are really vulnerable, in my opinion, at the moment, especially with Murray going. Arrow's shoulder, we saw him over in the corner. I think everybody was holding their breath whether or not he'll be able to continue. They are down on troops in the middle. That's where the game starts. They've got this next month of football. We're going to get a real look at where they're at. I know things are bad at the moment with South Sydney. It has the potential to get worse. The Dragons, the Cowboys, the Eels and the Titans are the next four up. I think Jack White needs to move to the middle of the field and be the heartbeat of that team, and hopefully for them.
Would that burn him up defensively?
Well, it doesn't matter, Gordon. It's not about attack for South Sydney. They've got people that can get points still. They've got Walker. They've got Luttrell. Like, they can get points. They need someone to just get in there and get this team by the scruff of the neck and show some pride. And Jack Whiten is that man, in my opinion.
When's Campbell Graham back? What's the story with him? So
it was mid-season, wasn't it?
Yeah, they misdiagnosed it. That was the problem. So they tried to just rehab it, and then he ended up having to have surgery on the sternum. So I don't think he's back till, it's still another couple of months.
So can Wayne, we talked earlier, Wayne Bennett looks set to be announced at some stage this week, you know, and then they can move on and everybody can put it to bed and he'll get through with the Dolphins and then go there. Can Wayne Bennett make a difference to that roster? Because I did speak to Wayne and I said, oh, look, you've got a great roster. And I said, potentially what happens next year? Do you shift Jack to 5'8" and Cody to 7, you know, because obviously they got this Lewis Dodd coming. And Wayne Bennett said to me that, and he said this publicly, Jack Whiten's not a 5'8". He just said that straight away. So he's very clear to that. So clearly the halfback issue is the big issue.
If you got that young kid playing fullback, you had Jack on one side and you had Luttrell on the other, that's potentially an unbelievable attacking threat. But Jack needs, and that's what Jimmy Graham, when they say Jack White to me, and when he played Origin, when he's got the ball in his hands, he's the most dangerous, right? He's such a big body. He's such a great ball carrier. But to have someone, and he's right, just to grab the team by the scruff of the neck and they follow you. Like, people always say, mate, what's a leader? And I reckon it's the hardest thing, but the only thing that I know in life is a leader is someone that people will follow. That's just it. So will South Sydney follow him? That's all you need. Someone that goes in there when he takes a hit up, and as what James said before about Max Plath, they embarrass you to take the next carry, to run hard, to do all those little things. That's what South Sydney needs. South Sydney need a player. Like, it has been Cam Murray, but for some reason, they've let him down.
Well, he's been the heart and soul of that side, mate, for the last 2.5 years.
In round longer. 2, it looked like he'd played 22 rounds.
Yeah, like, I felt for him.
No, but like he does, that's how hard, and you see him in the press conference, he sits there and like it's like he's not there. Like, that's a guy that I think he needs some help. They need a Max Plath. They need someone that embarrasses you.
Yeah.
South Sydney don't have it. Like, he's great, but do you know what it's called? It's called a forward pack, because you hunt as a pack and you hunt as one, and there's six of you and you go, and when one goes, you got to feed off each other. It's a pack mentality, and then they don't have that. Hey. And then when they played the other night, I was interested. I'm thinking, they're a chance here, right? It's emotional. Their coach, all of a sudden, it's pointed back on the South Sydney players. It was an emotional performance, and they run out of petrol. So emotionally, they got up, and then when it got tough and they had to defend and defend and defend and come back on how much you got inside you and how hard you've worked in the preseason, they failed.
The Taruva try was the big telling factor for me when Dylan Edwards came back from that
ball.
And he runs past them. And
there's blokes. It was a try from May.
You're right. May.
So tell me this. So he ran past, what, 10 South players, you would think? Roughly?
That's not
to beat them there? What?
That is not a good sign.
How many South players got back to the 30-metre line to defend? 3? 4?
Maybe.
So 9.
The Jai Arrow chased. He was the only bloke that chased.
Yeah,
and,
Jai chased.
And,
Yeah, and it was Jai Arrow chased the whole way, to be fair. But that to me said, you've got to look at it. Can Wayne Bennett
that
turn
play
this
there,
side
Dobbo,
around?
Was symptomatic of South's entire season. That was a reflection of where they're at the moment. It's an apt summation.
Well, if Jason Demetriou is still in charge, he's getting grilled about that situation.
Absolutely.
And that is something where you go, well, you're not playing for your coach. They're not fit enough, whatever it may be. But obviously he's gone, and Hornby spoke after the game about he was proud of the efforts, especially to begin with. But that particular play was...
Tell you what, it's a hell of a first up assignment for Ben Hornby. He's a good bloke, and I think he'll be a good coach.
Yeah.
Or I think he is a good coach. But like to there's never a right time or a good time to part to ways with a coach, right? But to sack Jason Demetriou and then Ben's first up assignment is Penrith, that's a damn hard mountain to climb.
And he gets the job
gonna,
on the day
they're
before.
They're not going to turn it around with that roster.
No.
They've got to bring some other players in.
You're right, Gordy. And you've been saying it for the majority of this year now. You don't think their forward pack has beaten up on anybody in a while.
No.
And clearly, it's now becoming glaringly evident that they need middle forwards. Mm. And I'm sure that Wayne will be able to address that.
Well, unless they change the kickoff rule, they might be in the game.
Well,
tackle hard anymore because, like Big Dobbo said, so that...
I know. Don't call me Big Dobbo.
Well, what do you want me to call you?
Ooh, little Dobbo.
I just... it's an ironic nickname. just on that South Sydney's quest for some forwards, I know they've gone to England.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teams in England that are really upset at the way South Sydney have conducted their business. They've not asked permission to speak to some players. Because
just to raid their club.
They're approaching players that are under contract,
right?
And they've
aggressively gone into the market,
you know, and obviously
tapping blokes.
But doesn't that happen everywhere?
Oh, drop off, James. They've been doing that. That happens in the NRL every single week. Clubs are conducting themselves like that all the time. Ooh. I mean,
it makes it right. So Did the Brisbane Broncos not report the Dolphins to the NRL?
Yeah, but that's an inner club, inner city. That's an inner city.
So you think the Super League should be treated like second-class citizens then? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I don't have a problem with South Sydney going in there and being aggressive looking for players.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I'm just telling you that the English clubs are pissed off that South Sydney they can come in and just say, hey, mate, I'll turn your head. Do you want to come over? Well, they've said no because they're under contract and they're not going to be walked over.
No,
That's actually true, because I was sort of leaning towards you because it does happen. But he's right. There's a right and wrong way of doing it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this happens the way that South Sydney
have conducted themselves.
Well, it doesn't get reported often. The reason it got reported in that Brisbane Dolphins thing is because there was text messages to managers and that the NRL and the Broncos were clearly upset with the Dolphins because of the new club in town. But
at the Broncos, they're okay to be upset, but my mates at St. Helens aren't?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about your mates at St. Helens. I don't even think you have any mates.
Oh, so
but anyway, I'm not questioning about that.
So, like, you're not global?
No. James, it's all right for you to get upset about it happening in England. It happens here in Sydney and in Brisbane all the time.
He's not global and he's not funny either, Gordy. In relation to it. The Bunnies,
there's no need for that.
They have aggressively gone in the market and they're trying to land players. But if they are tapping blokes who are contracted long term at their existing clubs, then they are bending the rules a bit. And you can go back to Zach Lomax if you want to relate it closer to home, Dobbo. You can go back to when Parramatta initially started hovering around Zach Lomax. The Dragons blew up and put in a complaint straight away to the NRL because he was under contract and they hadn't given him permission to negotiate yet. So it does happen here as well.
I just think on Bennett coming in, South Sydney at the moment, that they're screaming for a dictator. That they need somebody to come in and say, I'm steering this ship. I'm in control. Come with me. I think at board level, it's clear they're a divided, fractured board and there's plenty of politics happening on. Wayne, he doesn't accept that. He puts the board and everybody to one side. Don't call us, we'll call you style. I think with the players that they've got, they're underperforming at the moment. And I think when a guy like Bennett comes in, you respect his authority. You respect his voice. Say, for example, if Bennett's there, that he's the right messenger. You respect that voice as opposed to, you know, somebody with less power in their voice. it doesn't have the same level of feeling or meaning. I think when Bennett says something, I've been coached by him, Gordy, you've been coached by him, with him in England, whatever his message was, whether you agree with it, you agreed with it because it's him, or you acted on that because it's him, where if that was a different coach, and if you've got your doubt, you go, I'm probably not going to buy into this just as much, but that messenger in Wayne Bennett, that goes far.
Yeah, I tell you what Wayne and Craig Bellamy have over all the others. If Craig Bellamy says to you as a player, say something, you can't go to your manager and get out. And they can't go, Craig Bellamy's doing this, and all the media start writing, oh, this is what's happening at the club, it doesn't happen. If that player talks about Wayne Bennett, he's gone.
Yeah.
So they don't say anything. They just pick up their bottom lip and become men and play footy. That's the deal. So whenever he delivers a message, you can't go, I didn't like that. I'm going to go get my manager to get me out of this club on compassionate leave. You can't do that. You got to stay there and fight your way back in, right? And that's his power.
Yeah.
He's going to have some, he has got a lot of repair work to be done, though, because it's not playing roster, Gordy. It's also like Russell Crowe and some of the owners aren't seeing eye to eye, and Crowe doesn't speak to Nick Pappas, and I don't think there's a lot of communication with the CEO, Blake Solly. And so they're at war.
Well, Wayne
at the
won't
top
talk
level.
To him either.
No, he'll just deal with Russell.
That's right. So, like, then he'll run the footy club and he'll tell those guys, and we used to call them blue coats when we were at the Dragons, those guys that sit in there and have their prawn toast and their wine, you look after the corporates, I'll look after the footy side. And that's what that's his business. And then that's what those great coaches do.
Yeah.
There's no outer influence coming in and having a say and listening to every player. Wayne always said to me, losers hang around in small groups and bitch. Winners have parties, right? So all that getting around in a tight group and talking to that guy, that don't happen.
Yeah, either way.
Because he'll knock it on the head.
Either way, it'll be interesting to see how South Sydney do bounce back from it. And look, the good news for Jason Demetrio is that he's already been re-employed. He's already got a job. I can officially say that they weren't happy with Wade Graham and James Graham on the Thursday night scrum before kickoff, so they've brought in a third party. Jason Demetrio is now joining that show for 2 hours before every kickoff. Just goes to show, mate, they needed a little spark, so they go and get Jason Demetrio. So he's joining Triple M as well on Thursday nights. James Graham, Gordon Tallis, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. All right, boys, let's start talking about it. Roosters win over the Broncos. And you talk about Crichton's performance. Has he done enough to force his way back into that origin frame, James Hooper?
Well, he's in the conversation. I can't recall him playing better over the course of the last 18 months. He's obviously had some challenges off the field, but he's playing like a bloke who is off contract and has unfinished business in the game and wants to prove a lot of people wrong. He's got a really good rapport with Michael Maguire. He had him at South Sydney and debuted him as a kid there, so I think he's a good chance.
You can't possibly ignore his form. He's playing so well. That's up against the Brisbane Broncos as well. He was he was on another level, and he's been playing so well this year. Let's not forget the man started in reserve grade this year. Then he fought his way onto the bench. Like, that's how you deal with adversity, by packing your attitude, like Gordon always speaks about, not dropping your bottom lip. Oh, I've been dropped. Like, Siwa Wong put him under all sorts of pressure. Roosters have got plenty of healthy stocks there in their back row. Crichton went down to reserve grade and fought his way back. I think that is the biggest compliment you can pay to him. But then, and that's including the great form that he's showing each and every week at NRL level. I love that attitude to him. So I think with Maguire and his edge forwards and his bench particularly, I think Angus Crichton, he's too good to ignore, and he deserves that shot, I think.
Big, athletic, strong. He had Jordan Rickey and Katoni Stagg, so he had some fair blokes up against him.
Terrorised Rickey.
Yeah.
He terrorised Rickey.
Yep. Well, he made him look like a boy.
Yeah.
Ricky's a really good defender as well.
Yeah. Good player.
He terrorised him.
Gordy, I was going to ask you, like, with the Broncos, did they try and play too pretty the other night? Or?
Mate, you make a really good point. I thought they did with Payne, Haas and Carrigan, when they go the 1-2 punch, and we were singing that praise and didn't have too much on the end of it, but that's been their bread and butter. Go through the middle, set up the game. I thought they did try to go wide a bit too much and try to be too pretty. When Adam Reynolds went off, they scored a couple of tries. But when they go through the middle, like the Broncos that we all know and love, it's attacking the middle of the field. Right, it's going through the front door, but they try to go a bit too sideways. Reece Walsh, one of my favourite players, I thought he tried to score on every play. He got a bit impatient there. And they didn't have the go forward for him to play the style of footy that he wanted to play off. So it was a little bit immature from Brisbane at times.
They had their review yesterday, Brisbane, off the back of that. And the message.
What did you tell them to do, Dobbo?
I didn't tell them anything, but Kevy just said, it's not funny.
It's a little bit.
Talking to Kev about it, he was very much of the opinion that each player is not owning their role, and that they're trying, and that if they and now is going to be ever more crucial because Arthurs has gone for 8 weeks with a fractured jaw, so you think Oates will probably come into that wing spot, but then you've got now this Jock Madden situation. He comes in. He the mail is that he won't be right. So
is Saylor a chance?
Yeah, I think Tristan Saylor will end up playing potentially six, and then they'll shift him to seven and go from there and see how that goes, which I like. There's got to be room for.
So you come up with that in the meeting?
No, but it's more about owning your own role. And
absolutely, roll up your sleeves. Brisbane's greatest teams earned the right to play footy. So you go there, you beat them up early, you set yourself up, and you score your points late. They try to score their points early, and they try to win pretty.
Yeah.
Like they try to win by, pulling all their trick shots. You got to earn your right to throw a trick shot. And they do work every now and then, and you watch the Cowboys have got to a good start. That's false. You've got to lay a platform, like anything.
I agree. Raiders come back against Manly. Does this say more about where the Raiders are at the moment with this young side that Ricky's trying to build?
They, bit of everything.
They tossed up some absolute garbage at home the week before. And then they go to Four Pines Stadium and put on a really gutsy performance. Or are we getting ahead of ourselves around Manly and where they are sitting?
Raiders were paying $5.50 for everybody out there.
Wow.
I told my brother it was the best bet of the weekend. He didn't believe me.
I know another bloke who backed them too. Yeah. One of my mates.
So it was the best bet of the weekend.
Yeah, well, I didn't back them. Anyway, what do we think? Where are we at? And Canberra, obviously, they're going to break your heart 1 week and obviously make you happy.
Manly don't play for 80 minutes, right? They haven't. Like, we watched them play Parramatta, and that's alarm bells for me. That was probably the best opening 20 minutes of any side I've watched. It was just so powerful, clinical, and then they just go to sleep. You can't – rugby league goes for 80 minutes. It's not over till, Dobbo sings type of thing. But the sad part is with Manly not playing 80 minutes and the Raiders being their gritty side and what they tossed up last week – for Ricky's 500th game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're coming out here. I'm thinking, and then I remember when I was a kid and I remember going and sitting on the hill and I watched Manly have a great ding-dong battle with the Raiders. I'm reckon, mate, Ricky's up. Like, I don't know, I just had a feeling. Like, you can't toss that performance up for a coach like that has worn his heart on his sleeve and has stuck up for you in press conference when you played good or bad and he's always been a player-driven coach. That I knew that they were going to turn up, and they did, and they were gritty. Like, the Raiders are a side that are going to fight over a bone with not too much meat on it, and that's what they did.
You're spot on, Gordy, in relation to very rarely do you see a Ricky Stewart team put in a substandard performance like they did the week earlier when it was a huge milestone match for him. Very rarely the week after that do you see an equally poor performance. And as much as Manly were out of a cannon early and looked great for the opening half, then they went to sleep, and congratulations to the Raiders. I thought it was a really stoic, gritty, tough victory. Now, Dobbo, there is a little bit of breaking news, and that is that the West Tigers halfback Aiden Caesar is facing a 4-week suspension with an early guilty plea for a dangerous contact grade 3 charge.
So that means how he didn't go to the bin. How he didn't go to the bin. Yeah, and he's going to get 4 weeks for it. Rightly so. It's interesting, Sam Hughes, contrary conduct, he's only been fined early plea $3,000.
For what?
For allegedly touching Casey Badger when he went across. That was what that was for. And obviously
touching a referee, like
bumping into the contact with the referee. So that's
happened for 100 years.
Yeah.
You know whose fault that is? Jerome Hughes and the Melbourne Storm. They should have fought it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
They should have fought it, but they didn't.
That was a soft one.
You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
They should have fought it, man.
Yeah, because sometimes referees, because they want to get as close as they can to the action, it's not their fault, and the players go and they just get caught sometimes in one of those positions, right, where they just bump into each other.
The bunker not ruling a sin bin on that hip drop, and then Aiden sees you getting 4 weeks. That alone is enough for controversy. Quickly, are the Dogs top eight contenders? Can the Bulldogs, off the performances that we've seen so far, and the cluster of teams that can beat each other on any given week, can the Dogs honestly be called a top eight contender?
Well, they're in the mix. They're in the conversation for sure. They've had a few good wins. They've shown some grit and some fight. I still think they're a couple of middle forwards light in terms of being a serious competition threat, but they can nip around making the eight, absolutely.
I think what they've done is they've adapted to the personnel that they've got.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, you know, when you look at the squad on paper, you go, wow, that they are missing middle forwards. You know, the game against the Knights, a couple of weeks ago, Patolo goes off in the first couple of minutes. Their bench was, I think, Blake Taff,
Moran,
Hayward, and Moran. Sam Hughes came on. You look at that bench and you think, well, how on earth are the Bulldogs going to compete in this game? Mm. Like, they're just going to leave what's out there. None of those can come in and do a job in the middle. But they just have a style and a system where they just work for one another. They know who they are. They know what they're about. They don't have the Fanua Blakes or the Payne-Houses or the Fisher Harrises of the world. They've got what they've got and they make it work. So they work incredibly well as a team together. They're systematic with their approach to the game. Look, players like Kurt Mann come in and do a great job in and around the middle. Moran off the bench, he's sensational to watch. He's such a goer. He's the Max Plath of the Bulldogs. He is absolutely everywhere. Not the biggest guy, but he's got the biggest heart and the biggest amount of ticker. So I think, and with the Bulldogs, if that was their only trait, you go, nah, but they've got points in them now with that left edge.
Yeah.
They really do have points, and with Crichton on the other side, and when Preston is get some more game time under his belt, we'll see that come to a bit more fruition. But that left edge is looking lethal, and with the way they work for each other, they're every chance.
Well, it's an example of good coaching, isn't it,
yeah,
Gordy? You got to give Cameron Serrato a rap there in that he's getting the best and he's designed a blueprint that suits his roster.
They've improved from round one.
Yep.
If they keep on improving the way they've improved, right, they are a chance. If they stay where they're at now, I don't think that they can be a top eight side. But if they keep on improving, and if you have Kikau, who's probably the best, like, he's the best back rower in the game, and if Crichton starts to get his mojo and they come up with these little plays and they start to get it, like the big players, all those little fringe players will like go with them. But yep, they just gotta keep on moving and keep on improving. And as Reid Marnie,
seriously.
Is he the new pest? Like, is that just come with the Bulldogs number nines, like Mick Innes? Like, is that just the, like, is that just you automatically come a pest?
I think when you play with them, you love them.
That number nine?
Yeah, when you play with them, you love them. When you play against them, you just...
I actually like him as a bloke. He's a fantastic guy. He's a tremendous little fella.
And you know what?
I think I would have hit him on the chin if I played him.
You just want to chin him, don't you? You do. You see, like...
You do. You know, that's what he knows.
Hetherington squares up. He should have done the rest of the NRL a favour and just jabbed him. He's the fall guy. He gets 8 weeks out for chinning him in the tunnel, but then he stops the week after at least. But,
no, and then he starts a GoFundMe. Start a GoFundMe page. Hey, listen, guys, I'll take the 8 weeks. Just give me a GoFundMe.
Maybe when they play Souths again, their season's done. Just someone chin him. Just put an end to it. But
did we just say that?
The Bulldogs, they will need to continue to improve. I think what I like about them, you know, the performance yesterday, I go back to a couple of weeks ago against the Melbourne Storm and their ability to fight and compete down at Amy Park. Melbourne, a great home team. They were so close to getting the victory that day. So there's lots to like about this Bulldogs team, but it's a long season. I don't know what their impact around Origin will be. Maybe the Fox, they probably won't be
Burton
too...
Burton would have to be in the conversation.
Stephen Crichton.
Crichton. So
Crichton,
see how they manage that. But in terms of what they bring to...
I'm picking Tommy and Latrell.
Gordon.
Gordon, don't go down that road. Can I just quickly?
I'm just asking a question.
Bronson Cherry's been bloody good for him as well. I got to say, absolutely. Like, you know, like for a guy that's been out of the game to come back.
Who we got last
you know,
week.
Like and look. Anyway,
by the way, the play. I know that Tigers fans will be disappointed. The play from Justin Olam just before halftime to stop Cherry scoring. That's a huge sign that the Tigers are. You know, to put your Tigers hat on, that was a massive play. That was brilliant. I don't think we see that level of effort from the Tigers in yesteryear. We don't see them fight to stop those breakaway tries.
It's now time for Mitsubishi Triton's toughest player, thanks to the new gen Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. James Graham, who is your Mitsubishi Triton toughest player?
Yeah, toughest player this week is my former England teammate, Elliot Whitehead. We spoke earlier in the piece around how Canberra turned it around, incredibly disappointing against the Cronulla Sharks. Elliot Whitehead back for only his second game of this NRL season, and it was evident to see the influence on his team. He got two tries. He set one up with a brilliant bit of trickery where he went outside, inside, got the intercept. He was on his knees. Beautiful flick pass around the back to Weeks, I think it was. And yeah, without Elliot Whitehead, I don't know if the Raiders are in that game. You know, Coach Ricky Stewart spoke just how important he was in the build-up in the week, and it was evident to see. So, yeah, he gets the chocolates because that game, look, Manly, I think in most situations, go on and run away with that. And if you look at where the Raiders were even last week against the Cronulla Sharks, they were staring down the barrel of another similar defeat. But a person like Whitehead just keeps you believing, keeps turning up. So it was sensational from him.
Yeah, he certainly was. It was very good. And that was a great performance by Canberra. This is the Sunday Sinbin. See you next week on Triple M.
Triple M footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.